The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush Hour, Rush
Hour. Oh, yeah, good afternoon. Welcome to the Rush Hour. Of course, Gus is away in New York City, so it's Maroon here filling in. I got Jude, I got Wendell with me. Morning, boy. Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon to you,
morning, Maroon. Boys. Where did that come from?
I don't know, mate. We're ready to roll, though. This should be a cracking show. We've got Andy Lee coming in.
Oh, I like Andy Lee. One of
our favourites as well, Bo Ryan as well.
Oh, Bo knows. Now, Bo knows a lot of things. He knows how to travel the world. He knows how to have a good time as well, so I love him.
He knows how to find a gig. As they say, he gets in where water can't. Hey, but listen, I've got you two. You're both professional athletes. You've both been all the way to the top in your various sports. All this kerfuffle about the NRL Grand Final, does it have to be played in Sydney? I don't know that it does.
Yes, it does. Oh. I think it does, okay? We took it to Brisbane. We know we could take it to Perth or, you know, to Melbourne. But can I tell you, as a kid growing up in Serena, back in the 80s, I used to watch Manly play. Okay, they were my team because of Dale Shearer and Martin Bella. Not so much Martin Bella because, you know, when you meet your heroes?
Yeah.
When you meet your heroes and they aren't those sort of guys. But Dale Shearer, all I wanted to do was I want to play in the grand final and just win a grand final in Sydney because it's iconic. That's where grand finals are played. It's like Melbourne. AFL Grand Finals should be in Melbourne.
Yeah, it's is that what you say, Jude?
Yeah, just parochial New South Wales. You just want to make sure the big events are here. I'd hate to think that they just sneak it from under our nose and it goes back up north.
So. Well, I mean, Accor Stadium, you could get 80,000 people. That means it should be there because it's the biggest stadium. But I don't know. I think you could move it around if you had the right stadiums.
No.
Have you ever heard of the Super Bowl, Dell?
Yeah, sure.
Well, they move that around.
I know that. But, mate, we are not doing things like Americans. We are Australia, and the NRL Grand Final belongs in Sydney. End of story.
Let's do a little bit of this.
Service, great brands, great value at Bing Lee. Better living every day.
Yeah, we love Bing Lee. We love you too, Jude. I tell you what, everywhere I go at the moment, around where I live, around Maroubra way, everyone's talking about the mighty Swannies. I said, I got to get on the bandwagon. I got to know what's going on.
Oh, I tell you what, you can get on a bandwagon.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
The keys to Sydney's game, though, do you think they can go all the way? And if so, why?
Well, the thing, I think they can go all the way now, and the reason being is their defensive acts that they put on. I think their pressure is elite, and that was replicated on the weekend. Collingwood coach Craig McRae said that's the highest pressure that we've faced by an opposition team, and it was on a smaller ground in the likes of the SCG. So how does that translate to wider ground? But I think if they can put that pressure and effort defensively, they score heavily on the back of that initial pressure act. So, and they've got a really strong defence in the back line as well now with the two McCartan brothers. So exciting times for Swannies fans to see how they go and finish up.
Mate, I've got to ask you about Jeremy Cameron's injury. What's the latest there, mate, the poor bloke?
Yeah, so he's had a little twinge of the hamstring, and this is one of the keys for Geelong's push to the premiership. They sit on top of the ladder. They've secured the minor premiership. So he won't play this week, and they do have the bye after the round 23 game. So there's a break in the AFL before the finals, so he gets that extra time. But they'll be pushing to get back for the first final. That qualifying final will be really interesting, but not the best time to be having a hamstring injury.
Mm. Mate, what about Essendon's? I know Paul Brasher, the chairman, he stood down, but the coach, he's going to go too, isn't he?
I think he's on thin ice at this point. Ben Rutten, they've made a wholesale attack on Alistair Clarkson. And the reason being is Paul Brasher really backed Ben Rutten, the current coach, in, and they had to move him on because they are looking to go headstrong at Alistair Clarkson.
What sort of money do you think they could pay Clarkson a year as a coach?
Oh, a big club like that, they're not allowed to pay early on ambassadorial things, but once he's there, the additional stuff to do functions and things are enormous. They're a massive club.
Yeah, like massive. Over a mil.
Yeah, it'd be over a mil.
Right,
absolutely.
Might have to ask, mate, there's a place I like going for my holidays, Tasmania, great golf course there, but they're looking at the 19th licence. Any update there?
Yeah, super close now, Dell. I think there's some of the other teams that will have a say in whether that they recommend it have come forth. The Adelaide Crows have said that they would support a 19th licence. Mm. So it is looking like the business case is almost built for this 19th licence. Very, very close.
Mavgazi to Adam Uze is now favourite for the Giants head coaching position. How did that come about? I just didn't really realise he was in the mix.
Yeah, so he's one of the assistant coaches at Melbourne, the Demons, reigning premiers, and he has said that he's presented to the Giants. They were super impressed by his presentation, even probably more so, I believe, than even Alistair Clarkson. So really highly credentialed assistant coach. He will maintain that position at the Melbourne Demons until they finish up in the finals. So they could announce someone like Adam Uze in the coming weeks, but we'll wait and see.
What's going on in your world, Jude?
Well, something bobbed up the other day, and I just saw one of the sporting teams being hypnotised.
Yeah.
And they always just make them do some of the stupidest things, like act like a chicken and things, and you sort of go, is it actually real or not? Like, I'm a bit of a skeptic in that sense. But one of my mates, we used to, all be drinking around at different stages, and we'd turn around to one of my mates, Adam, who he couldn't drink beer.
Right.
And we're
why couldn't he drink beer?
He just couldn't seem to stomach it or hold it down, or just like he just hated the taste of it. And so he was always trying to keep up with the other guys at different stages and keep in the same round, and he's drinking Scotch and Coke or bourbon and Coke or something like that. And you're going, mate, slow down. Relax. And so he actually went and heard that a hypnotist could solve this. So he went off and found this hypnotist who sat there, did the whole thing, put him into hypnosis and asked him, can you make sure I can drink beer? And since that day, he's been able to drink. And it was just, I don't know why you'd actually choose that as your thing to be hypnotized about. But it was so random that he was able to solve something that he couldn't stomach or even get past. And it always gets me thinking about how have anyone else used those?
Yeah.
Have you been hypnotized before?
Oh, look, I have. Probably 20 years ago, we had a thing at the Marble Bar and a bloke tried to hypnotize me and get me to sing like one of the Spice Girls or something. But I felt a bit weird, but I really wasn't hypnotized.
You don't want?
Yeah. Did you feel it? Which song did you sing?
If you want to be my lover.
Yeah. Gotta be with my friends.
You're a massive fan, though,
aren't you? Kind of more, yeah. I was kind of more, trying to just help him out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, I'm fascinated whether any of our listeners have been hypnotized.
What you're saying, though, Judy, is just like from a medical point of view, like this guy was hypnotized so he could drink beer. I know a lot of people would want to be hypnotized so they could stop drinking beer.
I know. He chose the other way.
We'll go to the phones with it, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Now, we asked the question, boys, have you ever been hypnotized and what happened?
Exactly.
Right. Rachel. Go on. No, I didn't want to cut you off there, Del. Have you been hypnotized? Have you?
No, but I've seen people and I'm just thinking, would it actually work like on me? Because there's a lot going on there. So
there is always a lot going on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rachel, let's hear your story. Have you ever been hypnotized? What happened and why?
So I got hypnotized to stop drinking Coke and eating chocolate for weight loss reasons.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years. I cannot touch Coke and I can't drink rum as a result because I associate it with Coke.
Yeah.
After about 2 years, when the weight loss thing hadn't helped, hubby said to me, chocolate's in everything. So I did teach myself to eat chocolate again, but not to the quantity as before.
Good on you.
That's amazing. That's great, mate. Might be, there's something in that. Yeah. I like my sweet, so maybe I might find, you're always sweet. Gary from Miranda, what about you, mate?
Yeah, mate, I got hypnotised 7 years ago to stop smoking. I tried everything else, the patches, the medication, cold turkey, the whole shebang, and nothing seemed to work. But this $150 that I spent, subneural linguistics, I was put under, came out, I smelt someone smoking a cigarette. I was nearly sick.
Wow. And how many were you, like a pack a day, or what were you before that?
Pack and a half a day.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of durries. And you're saving much money, Gazza. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Titus.
Hey. Well, mate, it's a lot. A packet of durries is like crazy, 40-something, man. $50, is it?
How do you know, Maroon?
Well, because Maddie's telling me, the guy doing the panel.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Melissa. Him. How are you, Melissa?
Hi, good, thanks.
Have you ever been hypnotised and what happened?
I have. I had a really bad phobia of spiders. Like, I couldn't even touch a photo of a spider or anything like that. I couldn't drive my car at night anymore in case there was a huntsman going to be there.
Wow.
Got hypnotised. And within about an hour or so, I let a huntsman crawl up my arm and I held a South American tarantula in my hand.
What?
A South American tarantula?
Did you have an experience as a kid, Melissa, that you had the spider phobia?
No, and the guy that ran the session, it was all about phobias, and he said, yeah, some people have a bad experience, some people just get these phobias, but yeah, this tarantula was so big it had to like hunch up, like, you know, scrunch itself up just to be able to fit on my outstretched palm. It was enormous.
Oh, and you let it crawl on you.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, held in my hand, had a bit of a crawl, yep.
Thank you, Melissa.
I want to try it out. I want to get hypnotized.
Do you really?
Oh, no, but yeah, you should. I reckon you should because I'd like to see you get hypnotized.
But does it just happen like straight away?
I don't know, do you
need a whole process of sitting? I'm fascinated by
it. I'm sure we can organize something.
I'm not sure, but I'm not David Copperfield, so I don't know.
You're not David Copperfield. You're David Copperfield, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Copperfield. No, I'm just kidding. Del.
Okay.
We just keep on pumping out the big guests today.
Our next guest grew up in the Illawarra, amongst other sporting royalty like Wayne Gardner, Brett Lee, and... No, yeah, that's it. His NRL career started at the West Tigers, where he played over 100 games, scoring 46 tries, before he went to the Sharks for a season and before announcing his retirement after an ongoing neck injury. While he killed it on the field, he's known for his work on The Footy Show and in 2014 also released a music single with Justice Crew. Justice Crew and Bowie, everybody sing along, tell me where you're from. So I guess they can't all be winners. Please welcome off the bench and into the starting lineup for the Rush Hour, Bo Ryan.
Oh, Bo. Yes. So good to have you back here, old mate.
So good to be here.
Mate, I remember you when you were a scallywag kid running around in the Gong because I was down there too in those days.
Yeah. Well, were you from there as well?
I'm not from there, but I was at Wynn for a long time.
Marina Millie, you know Millie?
Oh, yeah. God's country down there. Del lived down there for a while.
Yeah, I did. So, but I like Sydney now. Sydney's a good place.
It's not a competition, but yeah. Wollongong is great. It's fantastic. Mm. Me, Brett Lee, Wayne Gardner, who else?
Brett Morris,
yeah, they were a bit further down Coyama.
Paul McGregor.
Casey Eastham from Albion Park, where I grew up. Yeah, they're doing a statue of her, so yeah.
Mate, what have you brought in here?
I've got presents for everyone. We've got Father's Day coming up. There is another one somewhere. Victoria Bitter, VB, have just done a new grooming range.
Right.
All made with beer.
Wow.
Made with beer.
Like out of the hops and stuff.
Everything's made with beer, so it looks like a Rolex case, eh? You like
Well,
it,
I've never seen a Rolex case.
Oh, no, yeah, that's Bo. That's he's on the A-list, mate.
I just closed it.
Well done, mate. You're all over it.
So we've got a candle, right, made with beer.
Yep.
Can you hold that? We've got a camera there.
Yeah. We've got the exfoliator. I use the exfoliator most nights.
What do you use it on?
I use it on my body. I like the exfoliator. I'm in the elements a lot and my face gets dry.
Right.
Wear a lot of makeup, so I'm an exfoliator guy, followed by the moisturiser, all made with beer. If I said it's made with beer. Mm. Bath bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still alive, Del? Were you listening then, brother?
Yeah, bath bomb,
you fell asleep, mate. And the body wash.
That's what you do to me.
But, yeah.
Look, it's in the stubby as well.
The candle gets a good run in my house, but we've got the face mask. My wife's been encouraging me to use, you know, stuff on my skin for a long time because I'm getting older.
How old are you, Beth?
37. I feel old.
Yeah, shit.
But Cara,
I'm starting to look old.
Mm. But Cara's all over it. Cara, she knows what's best for you.
But now it's, you know, blokes don't really do a lot of things, right? Mm. They don't talk about their health, which is one thing we're always pushing, but they don't look after their skin.
Yeah.
They don't. They feel very proud. So whether you're on the tools or in the office.
Let's just rewind this. When were you on the tools, mate?
You know what? Well, my first job, I was a labourer with my dad, right, for about 2 weeks.
I love your dad. He's a good man.
I know. I prayed for rain every day.
Yeah.
And my dad said, do you know if it rains, you don't get paid?
Yeah.
And
you said, I don't care.
I said, Dad, shut up. I'm praying. I've got something here for you, Del. Well, I've got a gift for everyone. You've all got one each.
Thank you very much.
But I've got the face mask, right?
Right.
Oh, put that on.
Have you ever used one of these?
Put that on, Del.
I haven't, Bo. But can I just tell everyone, these are exclusive to Chemist Warehouse. I'm happy to put on a face mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But probably.
Well, yours is there.
Right. Del probably needs it more.
Yeah. Well, mate, I've got to be honest with you guys.
That'll be a good start.
I like to throw myself on the bus. Like a couple of years ago when I was on the footy show, now this is a bit of a sweater. So I had a bit of Botox. But this.
Where?
On my head, on my forehead, so it stops you sweating.
Yeah,
so.
But you look good. You're black don't crack, mate. You
I know, black don't crack, but as Marshall Hines said, it spreads.
How old are you, Del?
48.
Yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
You're really 48?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look great for 48.
Thank you, look at this.
So here, here I'll take one for the team, Al.
Here we go. And you know what? It's what's good about it? Like, you can't put a face mask on if you've got stubble, right? A little bit of facial hair.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. Or there's a lot of blokes driving home from work now nodding. I know you're feeling me.
I'm feeling you, Del. Look at this.
The beauty of this one, the VB one, is there is a detachable beard.
Oh, yes.
So you put it on and you can obviously take the beard off. That's what I do because I've got a little bit of stubble because I want to be a man. So I'm just going to put the Dells on for him.
Yep.
I love Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
You good, mate?
Oh. You know that.
Look at this. Look at him laying back. You're very fidgety.
Look at him here. Look at this.
I don't have to take the beard off because you...
Can you do the rest of the show in that? That looks absolutely classic. Mm.
He's very fidgety.
He's wearing a
It's hard
a full
when they sweat like this
mask.
Too. Because you know what I mean? The lube on the sweat, it doesn't work.
I'm excited.
This one, this does.
So how long does he got to leave that on for, Bo?
4 weeks. 4 weeks. Nah, you leave I leave mine on for about 15 minutes.
Right.
Right?
Mm.
You watch first 15 minutes of a game.
How's it feel, Del?
That feels good.
Look at that. Now sit up, Del. Sit up. Look at that.
He looks like something out of Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Imagine getting up and that was outside. You standing outside the front door. Imagine that was in your front yard. Would you shoot it?
Oh, absolutely.
If you are, if you've got a
lean outfit, look out. Here we go.
Look, you can't even tell he's got a mask on. Like you have to double. You have to look closely to see the mask.
Mate, it's always great to catch up with you, Bo. Another Wollongong boy done well. Now, boys, I've got some stuff that will help single men. I know, Jude, you're a happily married.
Happily married.
Yeah, we're all. Yeah.
Dating opportunities for heterosexual men are diminishing as relationship standards rise. A new report has claimed couples psychologist Dr. Greg Matos has said that men need to address their relationship skills deficits as women are becoming increasingly selective. Now, the doctor said there were three reasons men were having trouble finding partners, citing the rising use of dating apps, increasing relationship standards, and failure by guys to step up.
Yeah.
This relationship skills gap that, if not addressed, so this is the important, this is the serious part. This relationship skills gap, if not addressed, will likely lead to fewer dating opportunities, less patience for poor communication skills, and longer periods of being single. He wrote, the problem for men is that emotional connection is the lifeblood of healthy long-term love.
So what we're saying is, like, women are having higher standards, expecting more, and more dating apps. Right? So it was far easier in the old days.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, the point is, I guess, in the old days you'd meet someone and then you'd find out about them. But with these dating apps, Del, it's like buying a car. Yeah. You read up about them first.
One thing I will say, I know, look, I do feel sorry for the current generation because one thing I'll say, you can call a romantic or you can call me a stalker, but I remember, back in 94 when I went to this nightclub and I saw this girl, her name was Tara at the time, and we had a group of friends. Anyway, so I thought, she was nice, we had a dance and that, and then I think, you know what, I'll go back to that club next week and see if she's going to be there, and then on that night, I said, oh, I met you last week.
Right.
And then she let me take her out on a date. So
creep.
3 months of wine, no.
But you've built that relationship
up. Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel sorry for people these days because I know we have to move with the new generation and stuff like that. But dating apps are.
What would your profile be?
Oh, you really want me to say?
Yeah.
I don't want to play this sort of game, you know, but what I would say, tall, dark and handsome, all / exotic. I love bushwalking.
Since when?
And being one with nature. And then also...
Is this a live profile you're reading?
Yeah.
My God.
I would also say I like conversations and it's not about me, it's about you. Okay? And three, be kind and,
be kind.
Yeah, be kind and just love life.
I have never met a man more chock-a-block up themselves than you. What about your dating app, Jude?
Oh, look, if it had to be summed up, I think you'd have to turn to Jimmy Barnes and just a little bit of this. Complicated. Just a single man with a heart of gold. That's all.
Oh,
you can have your long walks on the beach. I know you're down there by yourself, just, with your budgie smugglers on, mate.
But I just think, it's a connection too. I just think people in this day and age, and our guys and girls, you miss that connection. And that's what I think we've all been through the last couple of years. And I've got a mate as a lawyer, he reckons he's never served more divorce papers than now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. I don't know if you want to take Del or Jude's advice, but there it is, fellas.
Step up.
Gussie's in New York visiting Hugh Jackman, so I'm in off the interchange bench.
I saw him having this big check. Yeah, obviously,
what was that all about?
For Gotcha for Life. I think he's raising a lot of money over there and that sort of stuff, so it's great. Hope he's all right.
Gotcha for Life's going to go international.
Well, so it should too, because we know, we all struggle. I've been there, and Gussie, he's at the cornerstone of men's mental fitness, so it's great.
Hey, a fire that engulfed a... But if you live in Sydney, you probably know about this. But a fire has engulfed a bakery in southwest Sydney last week, and that could lead to a statewide bread shortage. Goodman Fielder, they make all the good breads.
Company, yeah.
Yeah, Helga's, Mighty Soft, Wonder White.
Love the Wonder White.
I love the Wonder White too.
Thick toast, yeah.
So there's going to be a shortage of these products. Unfortunately, the site sustained considerable damage to the bakery production line, and they are working through, getting it... back on deck. But about 100 workers were evacuated, Del.
Yeah, so it's obviously... It was put on toast.
Boom.
We've had to evacuate here a few times with the Dutch ovens that you've done.
Can I ask that?
Yeah.
You've done a lot of this sort of stuff. Sorry, mate. Mm. Did you ever get the chance to meet Michael Hutchins?
Oh, of course. Several times.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Charisma? He's unbelievable charisma.
He's the only guy that I've sort of wished. I know he's passed away. Mm. He's the only guy that, I look at Elvis Presley and I look at him and he's the only guy that I would love to meet.
Yeah, just lovely. And why we played that song was because on this day, 45 years ago, INXS played their first gig at a house in Whale Beach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, I met INXS many, many times and seen them hundreds of times. And the most memorable boys, I don't want to carry on here, the old playhouse at Talabudger are up there on the Goldie. I've seen them there plenty of times.
Sweaty gig.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Just awesome. Anyway, the NRL, Corey Norman.
Yeah.
He's one of those polarising characters.
Polarising.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so what did he do?
Facing a monster ban. Listen to why. Allegedly trying to stick his finger between the legs and up the backside of
the
opposition player in Super League, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So he was at it last week while Toulouse were playing Warrington.
I've got to say, I know Corey Norman. Yeah. I get along good with Corey Norman, obviously. He played there with my young bloke at the Dragons. I've got to tell you, this has happened to me before.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. You got Hopper Whitey.
I got Hopper Whitey.
Right.
Twice.
Yeah.
And the first time Hopper did it, I was going, Hopper, what are you doing? And he started laughing at me. The second time he did it, I couldn't believe he did it twice. And I went to the field and go, what are you doing, mate? But he was doing it at training to the boys.
Right.
So he thinks it's okay. And I'm going to be honest, at training sometimes we get a bit bored. And you whack the boys here and there. I know you can't do it in a game.
Yeah.
But I've been hopping.
But I heard the second time he did it to you, you actually followed him home. Is that true? Or did it both happen on the football field?
Move on.
Come on, mate.
What about Seraldo to the Bulldogs? Yeah. He's untried in the sense that he's obviously been an amazing assistant coach at Penrith. What's your thoughts of actually coaching his own team? He's coached under 20s. Where do you think this is going to finish up?
This is big, but I think now, if you're going to give coaches a 5-year deal, you've got to trust them. I know Wayne Bennett tried to get him. I speak to Wayne once a week. Wayne Bennett was trying to get him up there.
Is that right? That's interesting.
You think about it. He is the new cutting edge coach. But what I will say to the media, okay, I think he'll do a good job there. He's got the right players going there. Every time I speak to someone, they think he can coach. But what I'd say is, we've given him a 5-year deal, okay? Make sure you back him.
Yes.
Okay? And give him an opportunity. Give him an opportunity to do what he's got to do, okay?
Yeah.
Because we put so much pressure on coaches.
Don't we?
Look at, obviously I don't want to say this, but Anthony Seibold, but he's a mate of mine. The Broncos gave him a 5-year deal with a 1-year option in his favour. That lasted a couple of years. There was a lot of pressure there. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't do a good... he didn't get a chance to do his job. But you look at it now, I just think we've got to be a bit more kinder to the coaches and give them an opportunity and stop sinking the boot in.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I think that's about time.
Yeah.
Three codes, one player. What about this for a story, Jude? Brooke Walker's journey from AFLW to NRLW. Former Aussie touch football representative and rugby sevens international player, Brooke Walker spent the past 4 seasons playing for Carlton in the AFLW.
Yeah.
Now she's playing for Para. She'll put on the blue and gold for the first time in Saturday's season opener against the Gold Coast. Walker has one season left on her deal with Carlton, but wants to make her mark in rugby league. That's outstanding.
It's an outstanding effort. You can see the amount of talent, obviously, that Brooke Walker has to be able to just convert from touch footy and rugby sevens, and obviously the running ability there to play then AFL. And now she just wants to make a mark in rugby league. So it's sensational.
Mate,
yeah. I wish her all the best.
Mate, yeah, good luck to her. But I just like this now. Like the AFL, the women are starting to get, obviously,
notoriety.
Yeah, they are.
And the pay as well.
Yeah, obviously, we know the sevens girls, what they just want to come with. And the NRL girls, there's extra teams now. And, you know, a girl like Millie Boyle, you know, sets the standard. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So the girls are going well at the moment, so well done.
Yeah, and good on Triple M too. We called the Women's Origin, which we loved, and we're going to do the grand final and all that, so it's fantastic. Fellas, you know I do love my cars. I love cars.
You do love cars.
Big cars, matchbox cars, toy cars,
sexy
little cars.
All sizes. You've got a whole wall of matchbox cars.
Yeah, wall of tracks. They're called tracks. Tracks cars. That's nice. The brand. 1/43 is the scale. But I saw this and I thought that you guys... Well, I love cars. Everyone loves a good car story. Tasmanian police, a Tasmanian police officer was taken to hospital after his new patrol car was involved in a crash with another car in Tasmania's main highway on Friday night. So on Wednesday, the police get this new car and make a big, you know, a big song and dance about it on social media and the local news.
A brand new car.
Yeah.
It's the state of the art.
The Kia Stinger, which is a mighty fine car, the Stinger.
It's a good car.
The highway patrol car on social media. They've, you know, the car's there, the local news is there, Win TV and whatnot. So Wednesday they announced it. Here's the whiz-bang new Kia. By Friday, this bloke smashed it on the Midland Highway. The driver's taken to hospital. So 1 minute it's there. The next minute he's ruined it already.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about, could we do something along the lines of, you know, what did you ruin at work?
Yeah, what did you what did you cost your boss?
What have you cost your boss? Have you got anything along?
Oh, I remember having a customer event where we took some customers out to a really nice restaurant in the city, and this restaurant was sort of set in a way that had these massive big ropes above us, really ornate sort of spot, and it was a lovely dinner. And into the night, we're coming through, having a few whiskeys with the clients and things like that. It was a lovely night. I'd had a head full of steam by that stage. I looked up at these ropes and I was like, I wonder if I could climb across that. You know, just I think I could
like Tarzan.
Take my weight and, you know, almost a ninja warrior sort of feel. And I grabbed a hold of one of them. And as I was about to sort of launch, the whole thing came down from the roof in this restaurant. No. But it came from such a height that it just went boom and hits the ground. And the event organizer, my marketing lead, comes over and just whispers in my ear and goes, put the rope down. And I've got it holding in my hand and all I'm looking at the clients, I'm a bit red-faced and they're all laughing. And all I wanted to do was actually skip the way out of there, like just use the rope. Yeah. But I think they had to pay for the cost of that. Yeah, it was pretty ornate.
Dell, you've never really had a job.
I mean, remember I worked for Stradwick Sports. Well, I wasn't there. Rossi Stradwick wasn't there for long.
You cost the Waratahs, didn't you?
I did. Mate, in 2006, we were killing it in New South Wales Waratahs. We were going to win the premiership, the championship there. And then let's just say the bright lights of Sydney got to me and you and McKenzie backed me. And let me just say, I went on a holiday.
Yeah, and you cost them big time.
I did, and I still feel bad about it.
All right. What did you ruin at work? What did you cost the boss after the coppers down there in Tasmania got a brand new Kia Stinger, went in the newspaper with it, went in local TV on Win TV and whatnot, and shown everybody the beautiful Stinger. Less than 48 hours later, they'd smashed the bloody thing and they're all back in the Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
So he's safe and well, though.
Yeah, he's safe and well, the bloke,
Yeah, but they're a good car, the Kias. I think they sponsor the Broncos.
Oh, the Kia Stinger's a great car, yes. Well, you're trying to fleece one, are you?
Look,
you are. No. You are shameless.
Let's go to Rachel at Darren Boyd. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Rachel.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. What did you ruin at work or what did you cost your boss?
About $5,000, but it was very accidental. A very, very good friend of mine and I were busy. We work in a public hospital and we had to do some sterilizing of some bright orange jars. And we both thought we had the temperature on the right heat and it was a little too hot. And we went away and came back half an hour later and had created giant toffee stalagmites.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
They were $5,000 worth.
Yeah, the oven. They had to replace the oven.
Oh, the oven was cooked. Okay, no good.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Okay, 133353.
We got Richard here from Blacktown. That's my sort of place, Blacktown. I like that.
Richard, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How's yourself?
Not
good
too bad. What did you ruin at work?
Well, that's a shot, mate. I was on a carpet layer. I was an apprentice carpet layer working in Bondi. Mm-hmm. And two-story joint. So you had tenants underneath, tenants on top, wooden floor. They'd put in a built-in wardrobe. So I've nailed the smooth edge in, which is what holds the carpet up against the wall.
Yep.
You know, your spiky bits.
Yep.
And I've punched, there's 10 nails in each stick, and I've dead set punched 30 nails into this water pipe that was underneath.
Right? Double-story place.
There you go, right? So the house underneath, the tenants underneath, over the night, it's flooded. Their whole ceiling collapsed a lot, cost them thousands.
Oh, wow.
Yes, crazy. Richard. That's beautiful. Andrew's in Riverwood. Rand, Andrew, what about you? Hello, Andrew.
Andrew, you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for your life, mate.
Yeah, I used to work. It was one of my first jobs. I was about 17 at the time, and we worked in a dye house. We used to dye wool and yarn and silk and stuff like that.
Yep.
And it was my job to put in the codes for the colourings. So, like, I'd have DY428 or DY427. Anyway, one day I've put in the wrong code by one number, one digit, and instead of coming out like purple, it came out red.
Ooh.
But it was one of the customer's special silk fabrics, so it cost us $8,000 worth of yarn.
What?
And we had to rebuy it and do it all again for them.
Andrew.
DUI, $8,000. Yeah. Bang, gone. Good. $8,000.
Now, if you've just joined us, we're talking about what did you cost your boss. Wendell, take this one. This one is a pearler.
Oh, Michael, you have an unbelievable story, surely.
Yeah, I did. I started working at a winery up in the Hunter Valley. It was under Brian McGuigan, under one of his wineries he had.
Oh, yeah, Brian. He's a good mate of mine.
I was only there for about 3 weeks, and the leading cellar hand said, I was a cellar hand there, and they said, look, you've got to pump this wine over here, and you've got to filter wine and so forth. And they said, pump this tank, that's T31, over to S50.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, okay, and I'm pumping away. And then I realised afterwards I've put it in the wrong tank.
Oh.
So from a premium wine, they've all of a sudden made it into a mixed one, which isn't that good. And it come out, I was like, oh, now I'm in trouble on this. Anyway, they come out, and I'd stuffed up bad. And they worked out, they did the numbers on it. They said that premium wine, there was 30,000 litres I mixed.
Oh.
And they said they would have sold that 30,000 litre one for about $38 a bottle.
Wow.
Now, because it's a blended one, they're going to have to sell it for around about $16. And on 30,000, I think $16 off, it works out about $480,000, they said.
Half a mil. Del had the calculator out, but that is unbelievable.
That's why Brian didn't get to have his new Mercedes that year.
All right, well, we've got to give Michael
the
tickets, I guess, eh?
Absolutely.
480K, you crazy. Yeah. Anyway, a big night for Andy Lee because the 100 returns to the 9 Network. Let's get him to do this.
You and me.
Yes, we've got Andy Lee, the host of The 100 on Channel 9. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. Good, mate. Thanks, Jude. How are you, Del?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Sensational.
Yeah,
well, mate. Can't wait for it tonight, mate. It's going to be a sensational opening episode of this series. You looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it. Obviously delayed a week because of the tribute to Olivia Newton-John last week. So, yeah, chomping at the bit. But well rested, you know what I mean? Enjoyed the week off.
All right, Andy, we're going to play Two Strong Hearts, and I'm going to give you 5 categories, and you and Wendell Saylor have to match the answer. Answers you provide.
So the first thing that comes to my mind.
First thing that comes to mind, but I'm going to give you 3 seconds. I will give you 3 seconds. So I'll count that down, and then you've got to say it at the same time.
Okay, love it.
I think the record is about 3 or 4.
Four. Yeah, you and Gus have got 4 and someone else.
I mean, when you think of two people more identical, it's Wendell separated. Andy Lee.
Yes, twins. Yeah.
Both strong, huge, masculine guys, amazing sports people. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. All right, here we go. A type of sushi in 3, 2, 1.
Fish.
Prawn.
Oh. Okay.
I don't need sushi. Can you believe that?
No. That was not in your radar, that one. Okay. Sorry, These are hard. Okay. These are hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
A home and away character in 3, 2, 1.
Kate Ritchie. Ow. Sally. Oh, yes.
When will you? you're going, Alf. He's done 5,000 bloody episodes, you flaming idiot.
I know, but I like Kate Ritchie. Kate Ritchie's used to my favourite.
Oh, Sally. Well, yell out Kate Ritchie as well.
See, he's a bit random, Alf.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
honestly,
okay.
I'm not on at the moment.
Kate hasn't been on for a decade.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right. Here we go. Yes. A cricket commentator in 3, 2, 1.
Richie Benner.
Warnie.
Oh. Mate.
Both really.
Both great answers. So.
I know.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Richie do his stuff? As in, like, before he passed away, did you ever get to see him commentate?
Yes, I did. And then I obviously done a few functions with him. Unbelievable.
Isn't he unbelievable?
Yeah, it was great.
I went and sat behind them just to see. I wanted to see him and Bill Laurie do it was the MCG test.
Mesmerising,
His pauses are better than his words. It's just incredible. Yeah.
Mate, you're on Triple M cricket commentary
I've seen Warnie too. Warnie's pretty good too. I like Warnie's my sort of guy too.
Yes.
God bless him.
Okay.
All right. Something you'd find in a radio studio in 3, 2, 1.
Microphone.
Microphone.
Yeah.
Well, you're on the
board.
We're on the board.
Come on, Andy. We got this.
This is going to be
Don't doubt us. We'll always come back.
Yeah. These categories are outrageous.
Like the Melbourne Stars are the stars at the moment, we are.
All right, here we go. A number between 1 and 100 in 3, 2, 1.
69.
8.
Hey, our host of the 100. The 100 with Andy Lee returns to Channel 9 and 9 Now tonight, mate. Thank you so much
for
being
good
sport.
I let you down during that last one.
I don't mind Andy either, just quietly.
Mate, good luck tonight.
On your legends. Cheers.
Love you, brother.
Cheers, mate.
See ya.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.